everybody. This is Nora Rawlinson of EarlyWord.com. Welcome to episode 2 of Penguin's First Flights, a program that introduces librarians to some of Penguin's most promising debut authors. Today, I'll be speaking to Benjamin Wood, author of The Bellwether Revivals, which will be published here in the U.S. at the end of June by Viking. You can join our online chat with Benjamin on June 1st. But leading up to that, today, Benjamin is joining me for a live audio chat. You're in London today, right, Benjamin?
That's right.
You live and work in London?
I do, yes.
But the book is set in Cambridge. What is your background in Cambridge?
Well, I lived in Cambridge for about 3 years, which was the duration of time it really took to write this novel. I moved there really due to the paucity of affordable living conditions in London, and I went out there to sort of follow in the footsteps of a friend of mine who was a postdoctoral student at Cambridge, and I sort of fell in love with the place and was very much drawn to writing about it.
And what is your day job now?
I teach creative writing at Birkbeck, which is a part of the University of London. It's a college for mature students.
Ah, us mature students appreciate that. I'd like you to start by just describing your book. I'm always fascinated how an author talks about their book. It sometimes is different from the way it gets described in the press.
Absolutely. The Bellwether Revivals follows Oscar Lowe, who is a bookish young nursing home assistant living in Cambridge, who falls in with a couple of students at Cambridge, one of whom is Iris Bellwether, a young medical student with whom he gradually falls in love, and her brother, Eden Bellwether, who's an organ scholar at the college, who believes that he can adapt the theories of a forgotten Baroque composer for healing purposes. The novel is at heart, I suppose, a love story, but it contains, with Eden's musical claims at the center of the plot, it sort of explores the partition between genius and madness, and the conflict between sort of science and faith.
Interestingly, people hate spoilers, but you open with the ultimate spoiler. You open with what is actually the end of the book. There are dead bodies. There's an ambulance arriving. I wondered how you had the courage to start with what's actually the ending of the book.
Yes, I wanted to inject a level of darkness, I think, at the start of the book so that the reader would hopefully be connected with the characters and the story more or less from the outset. I wanted to sort of give a sense of brooding darkness that the reader would then connect with, and it would sort of cast a shadow over some of the characters in the lighter sections.
Well, I have to say it really worked for me, that sense of some kind of mystery hanging over all the events that I was reading about added a whole new dimension and feeling to the book. The book is seen through the eyes of Oscar, who's a 20-year-old caregiver in a nursing home. He's nice, and probably the most likable character in the book. But the book is really about, as you say, these two people whose last name is Bellwether. Such an interesting last name. How did you come up with that?
Well, at the time of writing the novel, there was quite a bit of discussion in the economic downturn that was happening across the world of the term Bellwether. I kept hearing it in discussions on the radio in terms of economics. And then also at the time I was reading, I believe, Cormac McCarthy, and he used the term Bellwether, which I didn't really understand in the context of what I was reading. And then I looked it up and I found out what it meant etymologically, that it's in fact a ram with a bell round its neck with the rest of the sheep in the flock follow. And I thought that was a fascinating name to give a character, particularly one such as Eden, in the way that he was being formulated in my mind as a character who is leading the rest of his friends towards a certain place.
That's fascinating. I had no idea that was the origin of the word. So the ram with the bell is the leader of the group, and that certainly fits with Eden. Have you since found that there are actually people who are named Bellwether?
I haven't come across one yet, but if I ever do, I'll probably faint.
This whole thing about the possibility of music healing, which is a big theme in the book, were there people who believed that? Were there people who use music in ways to try to heal people?
Well, I think that music and hypnotism have certainly been connected for a lot of years, and there's been certain studies that have gone into that for a long time. Music and healing is something which I think is kind of under-investigated. I mean, there are many scientific studies sort of happening at the moment which look at the effect that music has on us physically, and it's been found that obviously it helps to reduce heart rate and things like that. But, you know, to the level which Eden professes music can have an effect on us, that still certainly requires further investigation.
The whole issue of healing, of course, also involves the issue of hope, and hope is a theme throughout the book. But you look at hope in a way that most people don't. You talk about it as a delusion. Do you believe that in your own life?
I don't believe it in my life. I think that in the book, it's Herbert Crest, the psychologist character who is, through his own investigation as a sort of a man who is suffering with cancer, he's sort of looking for a way as a rational scientific mind to sort of think about ways that he might start to believe in miracles. And so he starts to see hope as something of a delusion. I very much believe in the value of hope in daily life. I think it's something that is necessary for us to exist. But I will certainly say that when I was writing the book, I wanted it to be structured in three parts, the first being doubt, the middle being faith, and the last part being hope. So the thread of hope is certainly carried through from the beginning, I hope.
You hope. the book has been released in the UK in February. You must be having fun talking to people about it. Any surprises in how people are reacting to it?
It's been very well received so far, and it's just been really pleasing to see it out in the world and on the shelves, and to see so many readers connecting with it and people really engaging with the themes and with the characters. And I've been lucky to have some good national press reviews here, one of which was probably the most startling response, spent a paragraph talking about my eyelashes, but it ended up being a terrific review, and I was really pleased with the thought that went into it.
Yeah, I actually read that review, and I'm so sorry that I'm not able to see you since we're talking via Skype, but without the video. I should have written that into the contract that I get to see the video. Thank you so much for joining us, Benjamin. We're looking forward to our live online chat with you on June 1st. And thanks to all the rest of you for listening. Those of you who are participants in the Penguin First Flights program should have received your advanced reader's copies. So it's time to start reading, so you'll be ready for our June 1st chat. If you haven't already signed up, you can join the program at earlyword.com. Thank you.